I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Well, I'm looking at some of the texts that have come in, and boy, I'm just feeling more like a slacker by the minute. I'll share some of the texts and some of the comments that have come in. We'd love to hear from you, by the way. And here's one thing that perhaps I could get your response to, and I just wanted to walk through this because the anniversary is officially November 9th, right? If I remember correctly. Yeah. November 9th for the Berlin Wall coming down. And for those of us who were raised in the Cold War and baby boomers, basically, that was the symbol. Even though it wasn't there for my entire life, I can remember the older folks talking about this hellacious thing that was happening in Germany. My grandfather had spent some time in Germany in the 1920s. I remember he used to tell me, you know, at the time I was over there, Doug, there was this guy in jail writing a book called Mein Kampf, and he used to send home letters that I've had a chance to read. I had no idea how many of the letters between my grandfather, but particularly his mother writing back about that time where things were just boiling. In anticipation of the Depression and then World War II. And then one of the saddest things that happened out of World War II was the division and the, well, Churchill actually put it the very, very best. Let's get this. When he actually put the label, we've all heard the term Iron Curtain. Well, here's the guy that delivered that term.
From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent. Behind that line lie all the capitals of the ancient states of Central and Eastern Europe. Warsaw, Berlin, Prague, Vienna, Budapest, Belgrade, Bucharest, and Sofia. All these famous cities and the populations around them lie in what I must call the Soviet sphere. And all our subjects, in one form or another, not only to Soviet influence, but to a very high and in some cases increasing measure of control from Moscow.
When Winston Churchill said that, I wonder if in his worst thoughts about that Iron Curtain that it would actually become not just figurative, but tangible in the form of the Berlin Wall. I think of some of the opportunities I've had over the years, and I remember talking with Colonel Halverson, the candy bomber, about the Berlin airlift, and that air bridge has been the term, in order to keep Berlin from falling to the Soviet bloc. At that time, all of the pressures that were being put on the city itself, Germany itself, and on NATO itself by Joseph Stalin at the time. So this ugly, ugly wall, I think that's why some of us, honestly, whether you are a supporter of President Trump's desire and very often uses the word beautiful wall and so on, I think some of us, just because we were raised with a wall that was meant maybe not to create national sovereignty, but it was built to divide. It truly was, to intimidate, to divide. And for us baby boomers, I think that's why sometimes we just naturally recoil a little bit from the conversation of a wall. And when I think of how ugly it was, I think of how divisive it was. I think of the literally just no man's land in between where people would get shot. Somebody fleeing, trying to hurl themselves over barbed wire, make a run for it. You know, the tunnels that went underneath. We've all seen plenty of movies that have been made about this this very thing. And the Berlin Wall just epitomized. It just made tangible the very, very worst of the Cold War. And I remember when I was a kid, a teacher told us a lot about how President Kennedy felt about it. And the president talked about how freedom has many colors.
Freedom has many difficulties. And democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to put a wall up to keep our people in.
Yeah.
To prevent them from leaving us.
Boy, isn't that amazing? President Kennedy just nailed it. We are in the process right now of putting up a wall to keep people out, but we have never had to put up a wall to keep people in. And I think that's what was so tragic and was so blatant. I don't know. I used to have just a little piece of the Berlin Wall in my desk drawer. I now have it at home. And for those who have ever visited Washington, D.C. and went to the museum, which unfortunately has not had the best of times lately, but they had a big section of the wall and one of the towers from Checkpoint Charlie. And boy, American presidents have used this as a rallying point for those who love freedom. And again, JFK went on to say this while he was actually in Berlin.
While the wall is the most obvious and vivid demonstration of the failures of the communist system, for all the world to see, we take no satisfaction in it. For it is, as your mayor has said, an offense not only against history, but an offense against humanity, separating families, dividing husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, and dividing a people who wish to be joined together.
You know, and some of the sad things, certainly amazing things have happened in Germany. The reunification has happened that was questionable at one point. What would happen? Would Germany end up being two different countries just without the Berlin Wall? What would actually happen? And there's still some concerns within Germany itself. Angela Merkel has actually alluded to this in some of her comments and speeches, that there is still a big difference. Nothing compared to 1989, but there are still things that need to be worked on. There is still progress that had to be made. But I think for many individuals, this marked a real turning point. This is when the wall, although we couldn't see it, it was crumbling. This is when the Soviet bloc, even though some things weren't terribly obvious at this time, we knew that things were awry, and it was President Ronald Reagan that kind of gave the battle cry and really set the stage for what ultimately did happen when the wall came down.
The advance of human liberty can only strengthen the cause of world peace. There is one sign the Soviets can make that would be unmistakable, that would advance dramatically the cause of freedom and peace. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Wow. You know, it's amazing how many people have never heard more than just tear down this wall. But when you listen to the words of the Prime Minister of Great Britain, when you listen to the words of John F. Kennedy, when you listen to the words of Ronald Reagan, just a little more context to them, It's powerful. And now the world celebrates the 30th anniversary of when the Berlin Wall fell. And we'll be talking more about that, but I just wanted to draw attention to it. It was a very, very important thing, and it happened on the watch of George Herbert Walker Bush. And I don't want to diminish his role at all. You look at the various things that happened, not only with U.S. presidents, but other leaders, leaders of NATO, leaders of Great Britain, leaders of France and elsewhere, and West Germany. And it's amazing what finally did occur, and the fact that that wall came down. When I was a kid, it was hard for me to envision a world that did not include the Soviet Union, did not include a divided Europe, did not include the Berlin Wall. And I think sometimes it's important for us all to stop and remember what has been accomplished. Now, sadly, there's been some backsliding, as it were, on some of the issues with friendships and relationships. But still, compared to where we were in 1989, compared to where we are in 2019, we have a lot to remember. We have a lot to celebrate. I'd love to share some of the texts. If you have some thoughts on this, we would love to hear from you. Let's go ahead and take just a brief break. We'll come back to a little recap on the show. Stay with us with more here at KSL News Radio.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.